It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Tom and Coach's Show brought to Butcher in Dawson and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coach's Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studios this morning. Dick Newman with the Saturday off. A beautiful day. Beautiful fall day again. And we're going to kick things off on the Coach's Show with head coach Tony Smith of the Loughborough Valley football team. Tony's always in the studio every Saturday. He doesn't miss. Appreciate you coming in, Tony.
You bet. Thank you.
Beautiful day again, huh?
It is a beautiful day in Minnesota here. I love it.
I'm sure your Saturdays are like my Saturdays in the fall. It's all football, college football, right?
Try to get as much done as you can before those games that you want to watch are on. Absolutely.
Well, I don't even get as much done. I just start watching football. I love Saturday college football, don't you?
I do. Yeah. There's just so much, you know, now with all these new conferences and all of this stuff is all set up, it's fun to watch. Yeah. And some of those old rivalries that are usually at the end of the year now happening at the beginning of the year, yep. It's kind of weird, but it's fun. I enjoy it.
And speaking of college football, you know, you got, what, is it Cade Molden up at Morehead State?
Cade Molden's up at Morehead State. T.J. Mitchell is at Southwest State. Mm-hmm. I believe they are both redshirting this year. Yeah. But, yeah, it's got some local ties around here. And there's even some great, you know, you want to watch the college stuff on TV. But we've got some local schools, whether it's Brookings or Fargo or Marshall or wherever, yeah. Morris. I mean, we got some good stuff around here to watch, too.
That's right. And it's just a couple hours away, under 2 hours, to watch some Division One football at SDSU and NDSU. And yeah, I watch them on TV, too, every Saturday. My remote gets a workout.
That was an entertaining game the other last Saturday night with Brookings or SDSU and NDSU.
Yeah, it was. I watched the whole thing.
I did, too.
Yep. And I'm a Jackrabbit fan, so that's y'all Bison fans know that. So, yeah, let's talk high school football.
Yeah, all right, here we go.
Section 5A playoffs begin this past week, and it continues today. And, I'll be over in Olivia this afternoon with the Dawson Boy Blackjack football team taking on Bold. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But you took on the Blackjacks in the first round there.
Yeah, Tuesday night, and the wind was howling out of the west, northwest. And, really, to be honest, our game plan was to try to run the football. You know, I felt like after the first time we played them that we had some missed opportunities in the run game. Just in the back end, they're so athletic on the backside there with their linebackers and corners that sometimes if you get a little pass happy, they've got the ability to go get them. They cover a lot of ground. So thought, well, let's get in and run the ball. Like I said, after the first game, felt like there were some opportunities for us, and we practiced against their four-man front and their five-man front, and they came out with their five-man front right away. We just could not get any sort of traction going in the run game. The line of scrimmage was kind of felt like it was always, after the ball was snapped, was on our side. And we did have a couple of plays there that gave us an opportunity. But unfortunately, we were unable to put anything together. They scored in the first quarter to make it 7-0. Lebo with a touchdown run. And then right away, they were driving to end the first quarter. Nathan Hansen had a one-yard run. And I believe it was a third and long. And Brayson Boyd took a reverse for 52 yards. To make the score 20-0 in the second quarter. And then they had a pass with about under a minute to go to Nathan Hansen. So halftime was 26-0. And we got to halftime, and, really we were kind of looking at conversation of, okay, do we need to open this up a little bit more? It's going to be our ball to start the second half. Hope that we could get a drive together, find some traction. And so that was kind of the thought process going out to start the half. And unfortunately, I believe we were a three and out there. You know, to be honest, I thought our defense at times did a very nice job. You know, they went to Boyk multiple times the other night, which they had not. I had not seen them do in their previous games. I mean, they were looking for different ways to get him the ball, and so I thought defensively we did some things better. We did give ourselves some opportunities. We did have two interceptions actually in their side of the 50. Yep. We did have a fumble recovery on their side of the 50. And just were not able to put anything together. Davis Patzer had an interception. Gavin Meyer also picked one off.
Well.
Yes, he did. Gavin Meyer also had a fumble recovery. And he was about a shoestring away from giving that a good return.
Yep.
Then you get into the fourth quarter and we got the starters out, and we got the underclassmen and the reserves in, and gave them the opportunity to get their feet wet. Stat-wise, Davis Patzer was 4 of 18 for 22 yards, two interceptions. Gavin Meyer was 1 of 2 for 43 yards. It was a nice throw and catch to Jackson Wells. He also had an interception. Landon Weber, 14 attempts for 21 yards. He had a fumble. Jace DeLean had one carry for 4 yards. Gavin Mortensen had 3 carries for 1 yard. And then Davis Patzer and Gavin Meyer both had some carries. Receiving, like I said, Jace Wells had a nice catch on a ball in the fourth quarter for 43 yards. Brock Biernild had a couple of first down conversions with his catches. He had 2 for 20. And Tygan Allpress had 1 reception for 2 yards. Defensively, Caden Kessler had 11. He was in on 11 tackles, 6 solo, 5 assists. Mm-hmm. 9 4 solos and 5 assists. Davis Patzer had 3 tackles, and I had mentioned the interception. Gavin Meyer had 3 tackles, 3 assists, had the interception and the fumble recovery. Brock Biernild had 2 tackles. Landon Weber had a tackle, 3 assists, and a tackle for loss. Jax Wells had a tackle. Tygan Allpress had a tackle. Dylan Keimig had a tackle and 3 assists. They matched Brayson up with Keimig multiple times. Noah Meyer had a tackle and assist. Blake Wells had a tackle for loss. 1 John Romanus had a tackle. Riley Borman had a tackle. Nolan Smith had a tackle. Carson Karapi had a tackle. Jace DeLean, Gavin Mortensen, and Carter Moen also had tackles. I thought we also did a nice job with our returning on our kickoffs. We did, you know, we started, I think, all of our series on the plus side of 30 yards. So that was good. We've been working on that and trying to get some better blocking as far as getting ourselves a chance to get something down the field. Punting, Brock had 6 attempts for an average of 42 yards. The long one was a 53-yard with the wind, and it just, you know, and then there's the season over, bang. You know, you work for 8 weeks and, well, actually 10, but, you know, the 8 games, and it's always, hey, we'll get them next week, or we'll take a look at, let's try this or let's try that, and there it is. It's over and it's done. And as I said on the radio after the game, just too many self-inflicted wounds, too many opportunities, and not being able to take advantage of them. And with a team like that, they have the big playability. You got to be able to take care of it and be able to consume some clock to keep them off the field. But, you know, and now looking forward, you look at these 2 games going on today. You know, Mineota and Canby, they're pretty familiar with each other and not real far apart. And then you got Bold and Dawson, who, you know, earlier in the year, Bold ran all over them. And we'll see if that's able to be the case today for Bold. And then for Dawson offensively, you know, is it going to be try to get the ball to Boyk as much as they did against us here in that first round playoff game? So It'll be interesting to see how today goes.
Yep. Yeah, so, only one Class A team comes up, only has a win at the last game, their last game, right?
So correct.
How many teams are there in Class A, do you know, Tony?
There's 100? Over 100.
100, yeah.
Yeah, there's, they basically took and divided up, the nine-man, and then the 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, 5A were all kind of split up. And then they took the top 36, I believe, for the 6A, okay, which they played last night. It's kind of divided up there. But I think there, and then you have some schools that are nine-man eligible that opt up to play 11-man, like Dawson,
okay,
like Wabasso. So there are some schools that that decide that they want to play 11-man football instead of nine-man. And then it's kind of divided up evenly within that, okay, depending on, the size of your school district.
All right. Well, like I said, only one team ends with a win at U.S. Bank Stadium. So, yeah. We're going to take some time another Saturday to salute the whole team, especially your seniors. You had a good group of seniors this year, didn't you?
Yeah, there was there were 13 of them. They played a lot of football over the last couple of years, with some numbers not being real high and some grades above them. So they had an opportunity to play quite a bit of varsity football.
That's right, and you got some good guys coming back. And, the younger programs, talk about that a little bit, the younger programs you got.
Well, I was very impressed with our JV this year. They seem to really excel as a group. They seem to enjoy playing, and they had some success. And, you can never take into account just the idea of being able to win some games and just kind of that confidence. And then you take a look at our eighth grade. They got better as the year went along. I believe 13 of those kids that are out. And so, like I said, they started off a little slow, and they got to play some in that junior high level. It's so interesting because from one year to the next, you might be a bigger kid as a seventh grader and not a bigger kid as an eighth grader, just with the way kids grow. And then the seventh grade crew, I believe there was at one point in time, there was 27 or 25 of them. So a really good number there. They had a fantastic year as well. I believe they only lost their one game, and that was right at the end of the year. So they were having fun with that and having some success. And you always got to try to have a feeder program, something in the youth. We did
keep kids excited, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Get them involved. Get them hooked. We had, this year is our first time where we had fourth, fifth, and sixth grade tackle. And it was all in-house. And so, and I'd mentioned this before, it was Mason Clark, it was Leighton Whitnabel, and it was Wyatt Halverson who worked with those kids for the month of August. And so saw a lot of good stuff with that. It was fun to watch them play. I believe their last time we did it under the lights at the school, and I did some announcing. So they had some fun with that.
They had you on the mic, huh?
They had me on the mic. Yep. And then we also did flag football for K through 6, month of September and into October. So, like you said, you got to have the feeder program, got to get them hooked, got to keep them involved and teaching and learning the game and having some fun at that level, so that they're wanting to come back for more.
All right. Real good, Tony. Thanks for the report on the football team again this morning. And, you have a banquet, I'm sure, coming up, and then we'll, come back and talk about the season as a whole, and especially those seniors.
Sounds good. Thank you, Paul.
All right. Head coach Tony Smith of the Lacapra Valley football team. We'll take a commercial break. We'll come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. If you're looking for quality meat and a great selection, stop by the Country Butcher, located right on Main Street in Dawson. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 9 to 1, Sunday by appointment. They do slaughtering on Mondays. Call them at 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher has a satellite location in Madison at Madison Mercantile. Closed Monday, open Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 9 to 1. Wednesday and Friday, 2 to 5:30 p.m. Check it out at Madison Mercantile. That's the Country Butcher. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods right downtown Dawson, Minnesota is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
It's Section 5A off Saturday afternoon right here on Q92. When the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks travel to Olivia to take on the Bold Warriors, the winner will play for the section championship game next week. 3 o'clock kickoff. That's the Blackjacks and the Warriors Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, right here on Q92. Mineota Building Materials, located along Highway 68 in Mineota, has all your complete building needs. Competitive prices, free estimates, materials on hand. They feature high-quality, low-cost buildings, agricultural buildings, commercial buildings, and residential buildings. So stop in and visit with Kevin Jerzak, manager. They have what you are looking for. That's Mineota Building Material, 115 West 1st Street, Mineota. Give them a call at 507-872-6147. That's area code 507-872-6147. Mineota Building Materials, Mineota.
Saturday, come on over for Halloween Bingo starting at 5 p.m. at the Marietta Fire Hall, $5 per card. They'll have cash prizes, costumes optional, there are treat bags for the kids, food available, and a lot of fun there. Sponsored by the Marietta Hometown Days Committee Saturday. Hot Dish Luncheon at the Appleton VFW, 11 to 1 today. That event is sponsored by the Appleton VFW Auxiliary. Painting at the Gary Station. Saturday, there will be a come-and-go birthday party for Ben Burzak's 100th birthday. That will be going on from 2 until 4 at the Madison Care Center South Dining Room. Cards that share a few words of how you know Ben are welcome and help celebrate 100 years. The Waddington Brothers will be at Memorial Auditorium tonight starting at 7 o'clock. Sunday service at the First Congregational Church in Appleton will be at the Dawson Presbyterian Church, 10:30 a.m. for a special mission service. They'll be back to 9 a.m. on November 3rd. Sunday harvest celebration at the Bellingham Community Center starts at 5:30 p.m. Families are encouraged to come, and doors will be open at 4 p.m. for this, and tables will be provided. Be trick-or-treating, table maze, decorating, photo booth, bring your camera, games of prizes, lunch provided, and a costume contest. That is in Bellingham. Sunday meatball dinner at the Marietta Fire Hall, 11 to 1, followed by bingo on the menu, meatballs with mushroom gravy and all the trimmings. Takeouts and delivery in town available by calling 320-668-2153. It's a free bowl donation meal, and you get a free card of bingo. Proceeds go to the Marietta Community Center Fund, and everyone's welcome.
And welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We got head coach John Turb on the phone with us this morning, the Dawson Boyd Lockefeller Valley Cross Country coach. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
I understand you're out having practice this morning, huh?
Yep, we're out at the county park. We're trying to get a little bit of some hills and get something this morning, and they can kind of do some things on their own rest of the day a little bit. So just try to get it out of the way early, and they can do whatever they else got to do.
I'm sure they love running the hills this morning, huh?
Oh, yeah, I do. A couple of them got a little bit of sleep in their eye, but again, that's just the way it is. You know, just kind of have to remind them, just get it done with, let's go. And,
yeah.
I think Brent is probably the tiredest one of those two, I'm thinking.
Okay. All right, well, you had the section meet is way down in Laverne this year. You hosted the section last year, didn't you?
Yep, we get it every other year, which like Pete and I, the Laverne coach, talk about. It's like, you can't do the back-to-back of running. It's so much stress on your body and time. So it's nice to have that break. So, but it's still a lot of work. And not easy, but it's still nice. And they've got a good course down there. It's a challenging course, because this year it's really, really just hard down there. There's no rain.
Right, right. All right, tell us how your team did.
Well, going in, you know, we knew, like, the boys and girls, it was pretty much, you know, with the girls the first rate. We also had a reindeer light. They had lightning down there a little bit, so we were supposed to start at 4. They didn't get the races started. They had to put them in the school and everything else, and came back out about 10 to 4, 4 o'clock there. He came back out and got warmed up. They ended up going at 4:30. You just don't know how that mentally is going to affect you a little bit, too. But I think our kids handled it very well with it. It's just not that. But first race with the girls, they ran at 4:30, and, you know, front side was Redwood's girl, pretty much a solid one. Canby, I thought, was in that solid two spot, and the question was Laverne does, because you don't know what, you know, again, home course, heat with his kids. Again, he does a really good job with them, so you didn't know what they're going to slip in and someone else could slide in, too. So kind of going that way. You know, our goal individually, we're looking at, you know, Brynn was probably our top shot at getting in. Chloe went last year. You know, Chloe's been fighting the injuries all year, and, you know, she probably ran probably 4 or 5 complete races this year. So it's tough to come back at this level when you have to get a chance to really go at it. But I wouldn't count her out, because, like I said, I thought she was, you know, mentally she's very, very tough. It's just the physical part is that you're kind of on the edge in that. But we did get Brynn. Brynn is finishing 11th. She qualified for it, and that's right there, because she had a tough about 1.5 miles or so. She looked really, really tough. She made it back. Chloe was in front of her a little bit. Then she kind of found a little bit of some energy or whatever and got back into it. Then she was, all that next mile, she was probably in that 7th, 8th spot, and he only goes top 6. So she was fighting on the edge, and then she separated from then she was up, the odds ducked out. She was one off of qualifying, and she did not get herself into qualifying position until the last probably 300 meters of the race with a little valley run. She caught the one girl to move into 6th, and then climbing the hill, she got herself into 5th, and then the Jackson County girl caught her right at the end, but so she still slid in the 6th spot, so she was able to get that last spot to qualify for the state, and that's what you ask again, just see what you had. And like I said, she was you're asking a lot of some of these young kids who are, you know, again, how you handle it mentally, and I thought she panicked a little bit early, and then she said she didn't feel very good, so I'm guessing she probably didn't get enough food in her stomach. But so she ended up finishing 11th with a time of 20:06, and I'm actually going to probably, I guess, see if my breaks, my distance is down. I got time. My place is maybe team score instead of the individual. Chloe Glegge was 18th at 20:46, so Chloe, you know, for being nicked up, she still broke 21, 40 seconds out of qualifying for state, so that's a really remarkable finish for her to come back like she did. Then Laura Farrar was 51st, 22:51, the first time she's ever broken 23 minutes. So she really put herself in a spot and really went after it, which is good to see. And that's the good thing. Then Taylor Wood, you know, who's another one's been nicked up. She's probably gotten 4 or 5 races in all year and hasn't done again. She had a calf injury. But she finished 62nd, 23:38. Harper Grunholz was 65th at 23:45. Kay Botham was 72nd at 24:01. And then Micaiah Bruce was 80th at 24:16. Scoring-wise, Redwood won it pretty soundly, 37, which is an awesome score if you can get that. And they're that good. And then Canby was 2nd, so those two teams will get to represent our section at state, and they'll do both very, very well there. They were 72. Laverne at 119, Springfield at 145, Jackson at 159, and then we were 6th at 190. It was kind of always our goal was the top 5, and that's okay. Looking at, so we're not that far off that top 5, but it's another really, really good finish by the kids, and good to see there. So we'll get to have a chance, Brynn, to go to state, which will be nice there to kind of let her bounce on that. So that's a great experience, and that's, you know, soak it up. And, you know, she's young, but hopefully she'll enjoy it a little bit and not too much pressure in a goal. So a good start with the girls. Then they came with the boys after that, about 5:10 or so they started the race. Going in, we knew, you know, Gavin was going to be our legit shot of getting in, and he's been solid. He's a solid in that individual spot, so we figured he'd be sitting really good. But you can't take things for granted, and that's the biggest thing, because I know during the race there's a couple of kids that snuck in when they finished the qualify. Didn't quite see them on paper getting in, so you can only control your own destiny, and that's what we always talk about, kids. You can't worry about this person, that person. You got to worry about yourself. And again, he did a very good job. Hot early, stayed in it, got a little tough in the middle. But he ended up finishing 10th overall with a time of 16:58. He was the third individual, so he is in. He was pretty comfortable in that with the individual qualifying for state, so he'll get the return. Caden Clark was our other option. We thought maybe he could sneak in, but, you know, you're asking a lot of kids, same thing. He's probably ran four or five races all year. He's had a calf injury that was an ankle injury to a kid. But you still like the way he put himself in a spot to have a chance early and sat, and then the kids that are in shape and got the workouts and started to wear on his legs, and he fell back a little bit. But he still went 17:27 to finish 19th. Tanner Callis was 26th at 18:03. He's really has grown a lot through this and understanding it, and I thought he looked sharp in there. He probably didn't get as fast as time that he's, I think, so just a little off on that, but still he was able to place very well for us there, finished at 18:03 in 26th place. Luke Stock was 39th at 18th. Atlantic Cubathan was 55th at 19:33. And then Kate Solom was 88th at 21:10. Scoring-wise, we ended up finishing 5th. And like I said, going in, it was two dogs on the front side. They would both have to blow up big to be able to not qualify for state. And sure, look at the scores. You see them. Redwood won it with 34. Laverne was second with 47, and anytime you can put two teams that low of a score, you know how good they are. And then MCC was third at 113, Bonnie was fourth at 125, and then we were fifth at 136. So really, look at, we weren't that far from getting third, so that's a really good testament where these kids have grown throughout the season and really have developed. So it was a fun experience for the kids, and I've been blessed. A lot of kids over the years that work really, really hard and excel at this section meeting. Another good one where they've actually excelled again and really brought some recognition to the program.
All right, real good. Well, talk about the state tournament. November 2nd, Saturday, next Saturday, right?
Yep, next Saturday. They've changed a little bit of the order. See, last year down there, we were the middle races. Now we're the last races down. So that's going to be kind of it's good and bad. I don't want to be the first race. But it's also, I really don't like being in the last race, because if you do catch some rain down there, that course could get torn up a little bit. I think as dry as we are now, I don't think it's going to have to rain a heck of a lot of rain to make that course messy. So
right.
I don't think that'll be the issue. But Bryn will lead off at 2:30 on Saturday. You know, put herself in there. You know, your sister, you know, ran well down there last year. She just missed getting all state. I wouldn't count Bryn out to, again, if she stays focused in that run. I think she's got a shot. We're going to try to hopefully get that top 25 spot for her. You know, so that'll be 2:30, and then we'll come back at, I believe it's like 3:10, I think it is, if I remember right. Gavin will run. Gavin was, 52nd last year, I believe, if I remember right, and we're going to hopefully improve on that. I mean, he hit a tough wall in there last year. He was good early, paid for it in the end. There's a couple of kind of a loop they do twice they have to do. It's a challenging loop, so we've got to try to mimic that a little bit in practice here this week. Like Monday, I'm going to try to mimic a little bit of that to get him to focus on that. But if he can put together that second half race, you know, top 25 would be our big goal there. So if we could get both, that'd be kind of what we're looking at. And you just don't know. You're at least you get a chance to compete, and that's the best part of the whole deal is, after this race on Saturday, the AR season will be over no matter what. So that'll be kind of fun that way to close it out at the state meet.
All right, and we'll be covering the state cross-country meet here on Q92, and looking forward to that. And, good luck next week at the University of Minnesota with the state cross-country there, John.
Perfect. Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, and, hey, you should run some hills out at the county park with the kids too, don't you?
Yeah, I do, but I got to remember... They'll all sit and laugh at me if I do that, and I'll be so far back, and I may actually roll back down the hill, and they'll think that's in. Then, of course, they'll put it on YouTube or something like that, then I'll never hear the end of it.
All right, well, have a good practice then.
We will, thank you.
All right, John Sherb, head coach of the Dawson Boyd Lacapra Valley Cross Country Team. We'll take a break. Coach Dr. Brandt Hacker is in the studio. We'll talk tennis right after this.
Mattson Family Chiropractic prides themselves on helping you reach and achieve your goals that you have with care. Although most times getting out of pain is the primary goal, and Dr. Brock Mattson will do everything he can to help you achieve that. Chiropractic care is most often associated with neck and back pain, but Matson Family Chiropractic offers so many other services as well, like sports physicals, DOT and drug testing. And does chiropractic care help kids? Contact Dr. Brock Matson today to set up an appointment. Call 320-269-7135. That's Matson Family Chiropractic, Montevideo. Farmers Union Oil Company of Montevideo and Granite Falls, providing Senex Premium Diesel Fuels, propane, oil, grease, and now DEF delivery. For any of your farm, business, or personal needs, please call Farmers Union Company of Montevideo and Granite Falls at 320-269-8861. That's 269-8861. Thank you, and we appreciate your business. That's Farmers Union Oil Company of Montevideo and Granite Falls.
Dick Fisher is retiring, and Saturday, October 26th, is the last day Dick will be selling his inventory in the store. Any inventory remaining after the 26th will be sold through an online-only auction hosted by the Rainier Auction Company. The online-only auction will open for bidding on Saturday, November 2nd, and close on Thursday, November 7th at 6 p.m. sharp. The inventory will stay in the store and be available for viewing from Wednesday, October 30th to Thursday, November 7th from 9 to 4. Following the auction closing, the pickup days will be Friday, November 8th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, November 9th from 9 a.m. to noon. No exceptions. Visit the website at RainierAuction.com for the auction details, photo gallery, and to register to bid. RainierAuction.com, R-E-G-N-I-E-R, auction.com.
I'm with Monica Bothan from Monica's Apparel and Accessories on Chestnut Street in Dawson. What's going on, Monica?
Well, hi, Paul Ramel. October 23rd through the 26th, I'm going to celebrate all week getting festive. So what you'll find out is when you come into Monica's Apparel Accessories, you'll be able to sign up for a gift certificate, and we're going to have lots of treats and fun gifts at purchase. And then we're going to do a jean marathon, too. So come on in to Monica's Apparel and Accessories and get festive.
And welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We got head coach Dr. Brent Hecker in the studio with me on a beautiful fall day there, Coach.
Yeah, it's perfect. I wish we were still playing some tennis here.
You can play tennis outside in this weather, can't you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, a big week there for a couple girls on your team there.
Yeah. You know, we had state tennis this last Thursday and Friday for individuals. You know, Hannah Oi and Kayla Jan both qualified back on October 17th when we were playing indoors down in Sioux Falls. They played a tough one with Pipestone, but ended up taking second in the section. But, you know, did punch their ticket down to state, which we were at on Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. So we get, you know, there's 16 doubles teams in Class A that make it down to state. The winners from each section really get the top part of the bracket on each draw. And then those other runner-ups from the other eight sections are just pulled out and drawn against other teams. And in tennis, the top five are seeded, and we ended up with the draw against the number one seed against the Blake School. You know, and usually when you're looking at those private schools down there, they play lights out tennis. It's their year-round sport, and they're inside all winter when we got, you know, snow out here and nothing indoor even close. So
yeah, they mostly play tennis year-round, I would guess.
So. Yeah, that's exactly what they do. So, you know, credit to them. They, you know, those kids from the private schools, they do well. They've got a lot of opportunities, and they take advantage of it. But Hannah and Kayla ended up against a couple of players from the Blake School. In Thursday, like I said, we started out playing pretty solid with them. I really think, and understandably, a lot of times those top seeds end up against an out-state school, and they just figure things are going to go their way pretty quickly. And when it was obvious that Kayla and Hannah weren't rolling over and weren't going to be put away easily, it clearly was getting to at least one of the other Blake players. You know, we were right with them and ahead 2-1 to start the set, actually, and then stayed a step ahead of them the whole set, you know, 3-2, 3-4, and then we were able to close Blake, which was amazing.
Huge.
Yeah, great, exactly. And all credit to Hannah and Kayla. They were really playing some very solid, clean tennis. both of their serving game were games were looking really good. They gave up, I think it was a couple double faults in the whole first set. One of the Blake school gals had a very solid first serve and a okay second, and the other gal really didn't have a heck of a serve. We were able to take advantage of that. Okay. And able to create some unforced errors on their part. I think they just got a little rattled. And Kayla and Hannah really moved well playing the net and taking care of any sort of mid-court balls that came across. And by the end of the first set, we were pretty much riding high, and Blake was struggling a little bit. But that got us to set two. And Blake cleaned things up. I think, you know, it's natural to relax a little bit. You've got a set under your belt for Kayla and Hannah. They don't purposely take their foot off the gas, but you just become a little more relaxed, a little less, you know, that 5%, 10% drop in your play at state level, that's going to go the wrong way really quick. And Blake did a good job. They took the second set 6-2. Okay. But we're playing one set for the whole nine yards, and we're in it. So we know we can beat them because we took the first set from them. Kayla and Hannah, mental game was very good, even though, you know, they dropped that second set. They were both staying loose, both staying positive, you know, having fun and smiling out there and enjoying the moment. When you can stay loose and you don't get in your own head too much, the good things happen, right? You start thinking about things too much. You get tight. You don't move quickly. Your shots don't flow. But Kayla and Hannah did a great job not letting that happen and stayed very solid that whole third set. Right. And again, the third set was very much like the first set. We were playing one game at a time, ended up taking that, kind of like it was us ahead almost right away, 2-1. We were able to just keep building on that, took that last set 6-3, which got us to the second round. And Kayla and Hannah took down the number one seed at the state tourney, which was just amazing, honestly.
Unreal.
Yeah, I was talking to some of the officials afterwards. They said it's been 30 years since the one seed went out in the first round.
My goodness,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's very uncommon, and the gals played very clean, solid tennis. They were peaking at the right time as far as their quality of play and what they were doing, and it all came together for them. So wow. All credit to them. They did a really nice job.
30 years before the number one seed was taken.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
Yep, no matter how it ends.
They should get a medal just for that.
Right, exactly. We should get some T-shirts or something.
So
right?
did they jump up and down and celebrate?
Oh, yeah. They were pretty pumped about that. They were pretty pumped.
Parents, too?
Yeah. They both had some pretty good, you know, representation down there as far as parents and family. So, yeah, you know, we were able to celebrate for a while there. They were able to enjoy the moment. I don't know if you've been down there, but Reed Sweat Inner City Tennis, that's a facility you walk in the door, and it's kind of an open area where you can come in, set your bags down. There's a couple desks, et cetera. But that's the first court right next to where everybody comes in is where Kayla and Hannah were playing. Oh. Everybody's piling in there watching. Oh. So, I mean, they had the spotlight on them, and they stood up very well under all that scrutiny and under that pressure. So,
awesome.
Yeah, that's very good.
That's great.
Yeah, exactly. Just having fun, playing some solid tennis. So, you know, that gets us to the second match of the day.
They should.
Yeah, no.
They should get another player at a game T-shirt for that.
I think that sounds great, Paul. Kayla, they were wearing those down there.
Were they?
Yeah, they were when we were practicing and warming up down there. So, yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Okay, so they plan to play a second match the same day?
Second round at 2 p.m., yes. And that got us into a match with Lake City. You know, and the struggle was, or the concern at this high level, you've had a great attitude. Don't start taking this too seriously. You made it to the second round, right? Your mind starts doing things, wondering like how far you can get and what's after this. But Lake City played a very solid match. Lake City, a couple gals, they were both ninth graders actually.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and we ended up playing hard against them, but they really played a different style of tennis where everything was a lob, everything was floated deep, and they executed very well on their game plan. Their lobs were 5 feet within baseline, hard to return. You can't attack a ball when you're hitting it 12 feet, 15 feet behind the baseline. When you do try to hit a ground stroke, you give that other team plenty of time to read your shot and move to it and take care of business at the net. And as singles players, that's not a game Kayla and Hannah had played a lot because they came in as our one singles and two singles players. We put them together as a doubles team. I mean, ground strokes, serving, I mean, net play, very solid, but that was a struggle for us. And credit to Lake City, they came up with a strategy. It was working. And they stuck to it. And we had a hard time getting out of that or playing that game with them. We tried to make it more of a ground stroke battle, but they were able to hit lobs off everything. They were lobbing our first server turns, lobbing any ground stroke we gave to them.
Okay.
So we struggled. We ended up losing that 6-4 in the first set and then 6-1 in the second set. And at state tennis, when you lose your second match of the day, you're done no matter which side of the bracket you're on. Yeah, whether you're on the winner's side or the consolation side.
I think you told me that last week. The important match is the second match.
Yeah, that second match, you got to win it no matter what side you're on. And unfortunately, we struggled, and Lake City did a good job, and that ended our state tournament run there. But, you know, in the second match, Kill and Hannah played solid. It was probably just a couple of, like, a level down from where they played in that first match. But, again, state tennis, you've got to bring pretty much your best game every time and figure out a way. Whatever they're going to throw at you, we got to figure out a way through it. And credit to Lake City, they executed well.
Okay. Yeah, and speaking of the Blake School, I think they won the state championship as a team, didn't they?
Yes, yeah. Blake School rolled everybody. They were so even down at state, except for the championship match, which they lost 6-1, everything was 7-0 Blake School. So really unusual. So they did a great job. The champion in the singles division, for instance, was a gal from Minnehaha Academy.
Okay.
Beat a gal from Blake School.
Okay.
Both of those kids were 10th graders playing for state championship, but just playing some lights out tennis. So, you know, on Thursday night, we were able to, the gals went over to a mall, did some shopping, had some fun, and then we came back Friday morning to watch the championship semis and the championship play. It was really fun to watch. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, congratulations to Hannah and Kayla. It must have been fun.
I hope they had a great time. They played lights out. They certainly deserved. You know, they did a great job with their trip down to state. Just a little report. So the Pipestone team that beat us in sections actually lost their first round to an unseeded team and then lost their second match as well. They ended up finished. Brooke Lindemann, the singles player from Monty, had a great season. Played some very solid tennis, but ended up losing both of her matches as well right in a row. And that was kind of – and then Minnewaska, who's also in our conference, ended up with a doubles team who took fourth place up there.
Oh, wow.
They ended up losing to the same Lake City team that beat us, actually.
Thorfinnsen up there, I think?
Yeah, yes. There's a Thorfinnsen who's a senior. Exactly.
They've been tennis players
exactly. Since I was. There's more Thorfinnsens than, I don't know, weeds up there, man. They just keep coming. And then Aaliyah Rant is an 11th grader. She played first singles for Waska. They were the two that doubled up, first and second singles players. They lost to the same team that beat us. Ended up taking fourth in state, though. So Thorfinnsen graduates, and then Aaliyah Rant will be back since she was a junior this year.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm sure there will be another one coming up.
I think there's probably more. We can never get rid of them.
All right. Really good experience. I'm sure some of the other tennis players were down there cheering.
Yeah, you know, we had – thank you for bringing that up, Paul. That's a great point. You know, we had great representation. We had 9 other varsity players who came down to support Kayla and Hannah. We had more – as far as the public schools, that was the most out of any of the other schools down there.
Nice.
So,
good.
Yeah, and Austin Ireland, right, who – then Zach Stelter, our AD, came down and watched the matches as well. So really appreciate that team support. That's really awesome to see just the program being supported like that.
Yeah, Zach Stelter was texting me, you know,
we're
beating the number one seed here.
Yeah, I was trying to stay on top of things,
Zach did a good job of keeping us all informed.
Yeah, that was awesome. I appreciate him doing that and taking care of that. So, no, we had a good day overall. I hope the girls look back on it and really, you know, remember that just what they did. Absolutely, 100%, man. Yep, 100%.
All right. I think we'll wrap up the tennis season in a couple Saturdays. You got your banquet coming up.
Banquet's going to be November 13th, so maybe we could wrap things up right after that. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, another season undergone.
Yeah, another season.
You guys start in July or something, don't you?
Yeah, we start practicing in June pretty much, you know, twice a week, just because we started our season on Monday and we're playing matches on Friday. And, you don't get ready in 4 days. So we start pretty early, but
And the big thing is I think you get your home tennis courts next year.
We are I would just wish, we're going to be playing some home matches. God bless America. That'll be so nice. We put some serious miles on that minibus last couple of years, so I am really pumped about it.
All right.
It'll be nice. It'll be nice to have that.
Nice facility there.
Yes.
Going to be.
100%.
All right. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
All right. That's Coach Hacker on Dawson Boyd, Lacapra Valley Girls Tennis. We'll take a break and come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Hey, Dan, what's on your mind?
I'm getting old.
Well, you have been at Heartland for over 40 years now. We should have a sale.
Okay, let's give everyone $40 off their new vehicle.
That may have worked 40 years ago, but I think you need to try harder.
$400 off?
No, we're doing $4,000 off select 2024 Chevy Silverados and Suburbans until the end of the month. That's more than $10,000 off when you combine our Heartland discount with the factory rebates.
That's a huge discount, but I guess I'm getting too old to argue.
It's not just a Chevy, it's a Heartland Chevrolet. Shop online at heartlandmotor.com.
Together, let's drive at Heartland Motor Company in Morris.
The West Central Connection Chorus presents Beatlemania, a tribute to the Beatles, Saturday, November 2nd, 7 p.m. at the Prairie Arts Center in Madison. Special guest Sound Image. Reserve seating, tickets $20 per person. Go to prairieartscenter.com or scan the QR code in the Western Guard. Tickets also available at Rural Solutions in Madison or at the door. Don't miss it. Beatlemania, a tribute to the Beatles by the West Central Connection Chorus, Saturday, November 2nd at the Prairie Arts Center in Madison.
Say to me.
Ludvigson Tile is proud to be a part of the local ag economy. Every year, we install over 100 water management systems made from quality Prinsco pipe for farmers all across our region. By managing water on fields, we help them maximize yields, decrease soil erosion, and grow healthier, more resilient crops. Ludvigson Tile is accepting projects for the spring and fall tiling seasons. Visit LudvigsonTiling.com or give us a call today at 320-27022.
When it comes to solid foundations, there's only one name you need to know, Wolfschlager Concrete. Whether it's a new driveway, a sleek patio, or a robust commercial foundation, Wolfschlager Concrete has you covered. With over 20 years of experience and a commitment to quality, our team delivers durable, reliable, and beautifully finished concrete every time. Commercial, agriculture, and residential. They do work in Minnesota and South Dakota. Call Jordan at 320-269-1182 or check out their Facebook page. That's Wolfschlager Concrete.
Paul Ramo back here in the studio, wrapping up the Coach's Show here. I'm going to give a report on the Lacapra Valley volleyball team. Their season ended last night in Canby, a match you heard right here on Q92. It was very competitive. Canby, of course, ranked number 4 in Class A and the number 2 seed in the Section 3A North tournament. And Lacapra Valley, they lost the first set 26-24. And lost the second set, 25-11. And they had set point there in set three, just couldn't pull it off. Canby won the third set, 26-24. So some very close set one and three there as the Eagles pushed the Lancers there. So Lacapra Valley ends the season 13-11. In the section playoffs, they beat Dawson Boyd this past Tuesday, 3-0. Jalen Lee had 15 kills in that match. Maya Sawatsky had 27 set assists. And, of course, since it's your last match for the seniors, they had 5 outstanding seniors. Lacapra Volleyball did this year. Jalen Lee, Brandy Meyer, Gabby Elias, Mikey Ann Elias, and Samara Seppinen. A good group of seniors there for the volleyball team, and they'll surely be missed next season. So the Eagles end their season 13-11. The Section 3A volleyball tournament will continue on Tuesday as Mineota will host, or all these games actually are at the RE facility in Marshall at SMSU on Tuesday. 5:30 match is the number one seed Mineota taking on Renville County West. And the 7 o'clock match is the McRae Wolverines taking on the Canby Lancers. You'll hear both those volleyball matches right here on Q92. Mineota ended Lakeview's season last night 3-0. And RCW kind of upset Wabasso 3-1. In the south half of Section 3A, we got RTR. They won last night over Red Rock Central 3-0. They're going to take on Adrian Ellsworth in Worthington at 5:30. and on Tuesday, and then Southwest Minnesota Christian will play Westbrook Walnut Grove, also in Worthington, at 7 o'clock. It's going to be a dandy finish here in Section 3A volleyball playoffs. All right, that's going to wrap up the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Appreciate you tuning in, and let's hear a word from our fine sponsors on the Coaches Show, Madison Bottling Company, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Jim's Clothing store there in Dawson. And we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycats. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
If you're looking for quality meat and a great selection, stop by the Country Butcher, located right on Main Street in Dawson. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 9 to 1, Sunday by appointment. They do slaughtering on Mondays. Call them at 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher has a satellite location in Madison at Madison Mercantile, closed Monday, open Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 9 to 1, Wednesday and Friday, 2 to 5:30 p.m. Check it out at Madison Mercantile. That's the Country Butcher. They're a cut above the rest.
It's 9:56. Great music for Haydenville, Providence, Cerro Gordo, and Black Pearl Village on KLQP FM 92.1.
This is KLQP, Madison Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
Middle East
update. I'm Paul Stevens, Fox News. Israel launching a retaliatory attack early today on Iran. This follows an Iranian missile attack on Israel earlier in the month.
Iranian foreign minister has now officially responded, saying that it has the obligation to defend itself. Also, 10 Iranian border guards have now been reported dead. That number could increase. Now, Israel, of course, has battled with Iranian proxies before.